said a moment ago, this concludes the series on that text in Proverbs chapter 6. Those six things the Lord hates, and yea, seven are an abomination. We dealt with a sermon in each of these, and so we start with a proud look, and then a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises wicked imaginations or mischief, or feet that are swift in running to evil, false witness that speaks lies. Now we come to the last one, one who sows discord among brethren. So again, in my outline fashion, I just took each phrase and made each one a major heading for the conversation or for the lesson. But number one, that first phrase, and one who. So that's the individuals or you, it could be me. We'll make it personal. It's each one. We just don't want to be the one that does this. Yeah. Next word is that word sows. From the Bible dictionary, it takes the form of a farming analogy. One who plants or scatters seed with the expectation of growth. Used metaphorically to the acts or the actions of one's life. Galatians 6 verse 7, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, whatever we sow, our acts or our actions, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I put in your notes there, I want to kind of keep on the positive side of the lesson. We don't want to just talk about discord. But there is a positive side of sowing seed. Number one, we need to sow God's Word. That's in the story of the soils or the sower that went forth to sow. In Mark chapter 4, verse 14, it says the sower sows the Word. Yeah. So when we think about the good things to sow the Word of God. Luke records it as, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. So we need to sow, and if we're going to be sowers, not discord, but let's sow seed, the Word of God. Second is righteousness. Proverbs 11, verse 18, the wicked man does deceptive work. Yeah. But he who sows righteousness, in other words, our acts or our actions, if we sow the good things or that which is right, you'll have a sure reward, the verse finishes. Righteousness. Number three, spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11, Paul uses the word, for if we have sown spiritual things for you, he's sown spiritual things. Is it, and he asks a question, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? He says, if others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we've not used this right. We endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. But he said, we've sown spiritual things. Number four, I put this financially. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. This I say, he that sows sparingly, reaps sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So we need to sow financially too. And just a statement in your notes, the negative seed, because that's our text, is discord. So we know the good things to sow. We're concerned this evening with the discord. So that's the third major point. Discord. Words only used twice, the word discord, in the Bible. And right here in our text, in Proverbs 6, verses 14 and 19. Only two places. By definition, if you think of discord, it can be like a contest or a quarrel. Brawling is one of the dictionary definitions. Don't want to sow that. Contention, lack of harmony, or disunity. One definition had the word collision. You sow a collision, a wreck. Well, I want that. Enmity, antagonism. Synonyms also included the word clash, strife, or if you're not in accord. So we don't want to sow among ourselves in a congregation or anywhere these kinds of things among ourselves. It's an interesting story. I just put the reference in your notes. But it's in Genesis 45, verse 24. And you remember the story when the Israelites are in Egypt. Joseph has a high position there, and the brothers come, but the father is left at home. And so Joseph says, I want you to go and bring dad back down to Egypt. And so after, when he's sending his brothers back to Canaan to bring their father to Egypt, verse 24 of Genesis 45 has this phrase. He, meaning Joseph, said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Now, why would he say that? You're sending all these brothers together on a, maybe not in the same car, but they're in the same group going back to get their dad. And Joseph says, I don't want you boys, brothers, to become troubled on the way, meaning I don't want any discord. I don't want you to have a falling out with each other. No trouble on the way. It's interesting warning that Joseph gives to his brothers. The Bible exhorts us to unity, and I just put a list, and I like lists. And so here's the things that exhort us to unity. Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. The whole chapter is the prayer of Jesus. And he addresses his father, and much of the phrasing in the prayer is about unity, working together. I keyed on verses 20 through 23. Jesus is prays, and he says that they all may be one. And he gives an illustration. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. In Acts 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. It's interesting, this verse, this is the last time that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is mentioned in Scripture. The last time. It's not mentioned anywhere else in the book of Acts, in Paul's journeys. It's not mentioned in any other time in Paul's letters to the churches. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is not mentioned in the Revelation. The last time we have a picture of Mary, she's meeting with the other disciples in this situation, and for that first gospel message to be preached in the city of Jerusalem on that feast day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. She's there with the others in one accord. She's not elevated. Nothing's mentioned about Mary being worshipped or set in a lofty position. She's just one of the people there in the room. Just an aside. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Again, the emphasis on unity, not discord. Romans 12, verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. I love you. You love me. We're a happy family. In Romans 15, verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. Not discord. According to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All together now, in unison, give our praise to God. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, and he said, brethren, says farewell. Become complete. Be of comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Ephesians 4 verse 3 asks us to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavor. You'll put some gusto behind it. Effort. Philippians 2 verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Psalm 133 verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. I assume he's just talking about the men. I'm not sure. Might be some women with beards, but they're not here tonight. So. But it's interesting how good and how pleasant it is to dwell in unity. You know, some things are good, but not pleasant. Medicine is good for you, but sometimes medicine is not always pleasant to take. Some things are pleasant, but not good. Hebrews 11, verse 25 speaks about the pleasures of sin, but it's not good. But unity is both good and pleasant. The Bible also lists some causes of discord. These first ones are all in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife. Oh, yeah. My boy, if you start to hate someone here, it's just not going to contain itself. It'll display itself in some way. Chapter 16, verse 28. A perverse man sows strife. A whisperer separates the best of friends. Chapter 22, verse 10. Cast out the scoffer, and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease the scoffer. Chapter 26, verse 20. Where there, an interesting illustration. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. We can understand that. And where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood is to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Oh, so we don't want that. Romans 16, verse 17, Paul says, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses. He has an illustration in mind, because he says, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Those who cause divisions, speaking false testimony, false teaching. He says, Martin, note those. Yeah. Avoid them from if they teach something from the doctrine that you learned. In James 4, verse 1, ask the question, where do wars and fights come from? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? That people cause people problems, fights, discord. Another interesting illustration is in 3 John verse 9. John says, I wrote to the church. Now they're the congregation that John's writing to, the third letter. Oh, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them or among the congregation, does not receive us. You're not going to receive the Apostle John. You'd rather cause discord and division or hardship, or you would rather trouble the brethren than receive the Apostle John? Wow. Yeah, what they're doing. So there's some causes for discord. In the last section, we talk about brethren. That's us. Brethren. A lot of words to describe brethren. You know, we're a brotherhood. We have family status. We've all been begotten by the same Heavenly Father. We enjoy a fellowship, a friendship. There's a togetherness. Brethren. We should be in concert. There should be, there's sharing of common interests. We're brethren. We're in association together. We're the church. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 8, in his rebuke to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, "But you do not be called rabbi," talking to the disciples, "for one is your teacher," or rabbi, "the Christ. You are all brethren," to the disciples. All of them. Every disciple that's there that Jesus talked to, you, every one of you, don't one of you elevate yourself above the other. You're all brethren. "Do not call anyone on earth your father. One is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ." In other words, don't assign ourselves titles. No. I don't wear that title reverend or pastor. You know, don't give me a title like that just because I'm the one in the among the brethren here. I'm brethren too that happens in this part of the worship assembly, stand up and deliver the lesson. Remember, someone else stood up and gave the prayer. Another brother stood up and led the singing. Another brother officiated at the table. We're all brethren. I'm just the one that stands up here to deliver the message today. We're brethren. In Psalm 111, verse 9, "He has sent redemption to his people. He's commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." When Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, "After this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So, not my name. Not mine. I'm the preacher, the minister at this moment in our assembly. In 1 Peter 3, verse 8, again, "Brethren, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous." Yeah. In Genesis 13, in verses 1 through 13, there's a story of Abraham and Lot. And verse 8, Abram says to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are brethren." We, King James said, "We be brethren." I like that phrase. Abraham offers a solution. In verse 9, he says, "Is not the whole land before you? Please, Lot, separate from me. If you take the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. We be brethren." I've looked at this and I've said, I'm going to preach a whole lesson next Sunday night, or Lord willing, just on this story. And just got to give some words of encouragement on what ways that we can encourage one another as brethren and get along with each other more than we have already. Strengthen one another. And that's the lesson here. You know, if something comes between us, you know, how can we as mortals, and if there's a time of discord, a time of strife, how can one of us turn to the other and say, "You take your choice, and I'll take what's left," and then not complain about it? You know, years ago, I don't remember when Palmer passed away, late 90s? 1997? Wow, over 20 years ago. You know, when we would have our business meetings, many times in those business meetings, something would come up and there would be choices. Palmer would always said, "I'll go along with what the majority decides. I just want to have an opportunity to express my view." Now, Palmer, well, he was here before I came. You might think, oh, this is the man, whatever he says, it's going to go. Well, but Palmer had the attitude, we're brethren. That's what this land. If whatever the majority decides, you know, after all the conversation, discussions on the table, I just want to voice my view, but I'll go along. You know, I'm going to pick up his proverbial bat and ball and go home. So in closing, in Ephesians 5, verse 19, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. There's just one song I want us to sing as part of our lesson. And Dennis, I don't know if you've got a closing song already, but could you do Blessed Be the Tie?
Yep.
Number 7-Eleven. And I'm going to sing how sweet, how heavenly. Or we are, not just me. Number 709. This is these songs are in the section of the book that's titled Church One Another. So there are songs that deal with that theme. So I'd like first just to sing this song in the kind of bring the lesson home, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We'll sing all the verses. 709.
How sweet of heaveniness the sight when those that love the Lord and one another's peace delight and so fulfill the
opposite of sowing discord. Just every phrase of the song. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. One here this evening, a member of the New Testament Church, you have that opportunity to obey the gospel, be baptized for remission of sins. If you want to, just at the close of the song or during the song, just voice of a prayer request, we can honor that. The same time. So let's stand together. We'll sing the invitation song that Dennis has selected for us.